Before we get started with today's show, I wanted to tell you about another great podcast, Bald Men on Campus, an ESPN podcast hosted by Jay Billis, LaPhonso Ellis, and Seth Greenberg. These ESPN basketball personalities give you an all-access pass inside the world of college basketball, talking to the biggest names in the sport. That's Bald Men on Campus. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. Also, NBA Today, hosted by Malika Andrews, offers exclusive content Monday through Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Alongside Malika, there will be a full cast of NBA experts and insiders, including Kendrick Perkins, Chinne Agumake, Vince Carter, Zach Lowe, Woj, Ramona Shelburne, and many of our NBA reporters from around the league. Get caught up with the latest from around the NBA on NBA Today on ESPN and the ESPN app. One app, one tap, and also available as a podcast. Listen to NBA Today wherever you get your podcasts. Also, today's podcast came with a few technical difficulties, so the sound will not be as good as it ordinarily is, and for that, I apologize. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening wherever you get your podcast. Thank you for watching on YouTube. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars, I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. It is that time of week where we have a guest join us, our oldest friend on The Right Time, when you really stop and think about it. Check him out on ESPN Radio on the afternoons with Chris Canty. I think I got that right. Shannon Penn?
Yeah, that works. That's weird, too, when you introduce me like a guest. Like, what? I'm no guest. I come through and put my feet up on the couch. I'm no guest, but I get it anyway.
Yeah, you a day one. Like a literal day one.
I help move the furniture in the house.
Right, forget about the fact, and here's one for you that I bet you hadn't quite thought about. You and I have been doing radio and things like that together for 15 years.
Oh, my gosh.
It's been literally 15 years.
Dog, that's before every game was shot in HD. Like, they were still doing games in standard definition when we got started in this thing.
I think the first time we did a show was before I got an HD TV.
Mm-hmm. I think it was a big thing for us. We had a flat screen. Like, that was the hotness. Getting a flat screen. It wasn't HD, but it was a big flat screen TV.
Wow. Now, I tell people, we talked about this many times, but for the folks who are new, Shannon and I worked together at 850 The Buzz and 620 The Bull in Raleigh for many years. And then when I got the ESPN radio show, I was lucky enough to have him join and produce that show. And so when this moved over to podcast, he stayed over with ESPN radio. But I think it was either the first show we did together or the second show we did together. We were doing Sunday morning radio. And the thing you got to understand about Sunday morning radio is there is somebody listening on Sunday morning, but it ain't your boss, right? It's whoever happens to be in the car, but the bosses, they've had enough. They're taking the day off. So you basically do whatever you want. So one morning, Shannon had to pull for the bumper music, "I'm Bad," which works every single time. Like, if you remember in The Last Dance where they put that on, that's when I was like, oh, okay, we're not playing around. This isn't understated. And so it came on, and we both got so hyped and so crunk while that was on. We basically read 2 verses in the morning on Sunday sports radio in Raleigh, North Carolina. Yes, on the AM dial.
On the AM dial, right. Early Sunday morning. Like, we're wilding out way too early on a Sunday morning, but it was all good, though.
Yo, the other thing about that show was the homie Amnon came on before us. It was guys that had a computer show. And I just want to mention Amnon because I actually think this is one of the great stories ever. Like, you meet people that just an interesting detail. So, Nissan cars. If you want to go to their website, it is NissanUSA.com. And you may be wondering, why is it not Nissan? And the answer is Amnon. So Amnon's last name is Nissan.
Right.
And so he and his brother had a business, and they got Nissan.com first. And if you go to that website, it is all about how Nissan, the car company, has gone to the greatest lengths to try to wrest away the domain Nissan.com from our guy Amnon. Except they need to understand, if I'm not mistaken, Amnon was in the Israeli army. That man ain't giving up.
Hell no. Look, Amnon was like, I do this. This is what I do. This is not a game. This is not a drill. Like, I've been about this life. I've been waiting for this moment. I put my name on this literally from day one. You ain't getting this from me.
I love Damn Dom for that. Like, when I realized, like, you go to that website, they ain't no crisis management firm involved. It ain't no PR. But if you want to know the fight that our buddy Amnon has had to put up against Nissan, you could go look it up. Amnon is fighting. You know all the money that Amnon could probably get for that domain from Nissan? That ain't the point.
Not happening. He's doing it on principle and principle alone.
But yeah, man, so me and Shannon go way, way back in this. And that actually reminds me, because we're going to get to talking about Tom Brady and his retirement. But what did you think of the way the last two weekends ended for Duke basketball?
Oh my gosh, it was historic. And it feels too, before we look back, like just looking ahead with this real quick, like the way that these last 2 weeks ended with them getting blown out by UNC and then losing to my wife's alma mater, Virginia Tech, in the ACC championship game, had to throw that in there. It just feels as though, like, this feels like one of these Duke teams that's going to lose in the second round. Like, they're going to lose to one of these upstart teams or what have you. But going back, though, like, it's been amazing. Like, for the Carolina fans to enjoy that.
Ooh!
It felt like a win for everybody, didn't it?
Yeah, dog, because the thing is, I'm kind of a Carolina fan, but I realized I just hated Duke. Like, right. I went to Carolina for grad school, but I didn't, like, grow up as a Carolina fan. But if you come in hating Duke, you can jump on that Carolina thing real quick. Then I get away from it. I'm not around the same people and friends. And honestly, college basketball kind of stinks now. So, you know, I'm not really like in and on that. Man, listen, I went up to the Dork Fest in Boston because I was doing this interview with Calvin Johnson. And I'm riding back on the Amtrak. And I didn't even make any plans around watching the game because I didn't think the game was going to be any good. And the last thing I wanted was a Coach K love fest, right?
Right.
Dog. I'm watching as that score keeps getting bigger in the second half. I ain't missed Durham that much in the 9 years since I left. I looked at that and I was just like, oh, damn. And then Krzyzewski went out and embarrassed them boys in the post-game press conference. And then they lost Tech. Legitimately raised the question, did you lose your team? Because your pride wouldn't let you just kind of fall back in that moment. But the reason I wanted to bring it up was me and Shannon got some history in having discussions about Duke. And it is fascinating to look at what that program is now versus what it was when you and I were talking about it. Because it was a Herb Fest, man. And it was a Herb Fest to the point where the kids had started noticing and the ones that didn't want to be Herbs wasn't really trying to rock with Duke. And we were saying this, and you remember how much people will argue with us.
It's funny, too, because you think about that. First name that comes to mind for me is DeMarcus Nelson. Because DeMarcus Nelson went to Duke, but he was never at Duke. DeMarcus Nelson was always at Carolina. He's like, look, I just ball there. I just play ball there. I don't really rock with them dudes.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, DeMarcus Nelson was the one guy, and this is the thing that would happen with Duke. Is, you know, you would have the stuff like every time the ref made a bad call, like everybody moves in unison, right? And doing all the super clapping and everything and the walk-ons would be out there. There would always be like one dude that was like, yo, what are we doing? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, dude, the chair, no, we look like a bunch of Herbs right now. You know, there's always be that one guy that's just sitting there. DeMarcus Nelson for a stretch was that one dude just sitting there like, this ain't what I stand for.
Right. You would always have the one dude who's self-aware enough to know, like, what's going on. Like, hell, I'm trying to get to the league and let it be known. But the rest of that Herb activity that you guys are doing, no. Right now, I'm Herb adjacent. And I ain't trying to really be about that life. But to your point, like, the way we talk about Duke and look at Duke, and more importantly, the way the Duke players look.
Yeah.
It's totally different. I think, because I want to shout you out on Game Theory, but I think you brought up that great point, too. It's like, the way they looked at the players over the course of time, it started to change.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yo, remember the How We Hoop video? And for those of you who don't know, go to YouTube and look up Duke Basketball How We Hoop. Because they basically had to start a full-on campaign to let the young blacks know, like, hey, it's fun to play basketball here. They had written all the benefits of the white stereotypes, except it went too far. And people thought they was out here, like, running the motion offense all the time. And they're like, wait, ho, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? We're a little torn. But this is maybe the most interesting part of it. They made the changes in who they recruited and how they ran their program. The results actually haven't changed.
Well, I mean, what? K has won, what, 3 championships in the last, what, 15 years or so, right? Is my math off?
No, it's 3 championships in the last 21 years.
21 years, okay.
01, 2010, and 2015. But, like, if you, I guess the line of demarcation on this is kind of Kyrie Irving, right? Irving is the first one. You go from Kyrie Irving to Austin Rivers to Jabari Parker. This recruiting game that they're playing now really kind of starts with Kyrie. But if I'm not mistaken, if you take the 10 years from Kyrie on and compare it to, like, the 10 years before, it's really not that much different, because it's really hard to, like, switch out a new team every single year. Meanwhile, right. Roy Williams was like, I don't change for nobody. I'm doing the exact, and guess what? The highs weren't as high. I mean, they won that championship in 2017, but, you know, you didn't have in that stretch after that a team like the 09 team or the team like the 05 team, but the results still roughly the same.
Right. And to your point, too, and it goes, and you mentioned Kyrie, and I think with Kay and the philosophy even changed the year prior with the John Wall late recruitment, you know? And well, look, I got it. Yeah, exactly. Recruitment, because I don't think they really wanted him at Duke per se, but you had to give the perception that we were willing to recruit a player like this, a guy who was in our own backyard in Raleigh, and that we knew was going to be a one and done, but we were willing to take. And they got into it relatively late compared to schools like NC State and eventual Kentucky. Where John Wall went. But I think that really at least started to change some of that perception for Duke.
You know why I really wish that John Wall would have gone to Duke, aside from the fact that it would have been the most confusing thing ever? Okay, so John Wall, if you don't know, is from Raleigh. And I don't want to say, because I don't know any of who John Wall's friends were in Raleigh. Like, I don't want to pretend that I know exactly who he was hanging out with. However, if John Wall had gone to Duke, that means the homies is coming to hang out at Duke. And I'm telling you, John Wall didn't have no homies that went to Duke, right? That was like, yo, I'm gonna see you there. You know, there wasn't, you know, me and you, we can go together. I feel very confident saying that, right? So that meant that John Wall would have been the dude bringing his homies from around the way onto the yard, except the yard is Duke. And I would have loved to have seen it. And you want to know why I would have loved to have seen it? Because the little known fact about the homies that show up on the yard is they do numbers. Like, they hit the yard and they meet them bourgeois girls and they be making it happen. Don't ask me how, don't ask me why, but they be making it happen. Like, people are like, oh man, they probably be looking at them crazy. Till they not.
Right. Right. The clientele on the yard would go up. Yes. Put it like that.
Yeah, show me, somebody get me the whole video footage of when Newport News showed up to Georgetown with Allen Iverson. What that drive, like a couple of hours?
That was easy. That was local. That's 3.5 maybe? Easy.
Except they was getting to Georgetown and they was like, hey, Howard right over there. All right, y'all try to roll.
Like, yeah, but then you had Richmond was about an hour away, too. So, it Georgetown stayed very local for Chuck and the fam. Absolutely.
If the John Wall crew would have been on the yard at Duke.
Oh, my God.
Like, I feel like Kinston was a little too far for Brandon Ingram's folks to be all down there. Brandon Ingram had that older brother who played college basketball. And I actually would not be surprised if they had told Kinston, fall back. Give it a year.
And that's one of those two as well. One of those tent pole kind of recruitments for Duke with the Brandon Ingram that you bring up and the history there with him being from Kingston, which is a Carolina town, you know, Jerry Stackhouse and the like. Yeah. So for them to land a guy like Ingram, tattoos, the whole nine, which didn't typically look like the prototypical Duke player, and from an area that typically Duke doesn't recruit well, that was a big one for them as well, at least for the perception.
Hold on. Not just tattoos. that look like they got done in a garage.
Well, that too.
Like, absolutely nothing about Brandon Ingram. Brandon Ingram showed up with them braids. Brandon Ingram showed up with them cheap tattoos. And I don't have a problem calling them cheap tattoos, because if you look at him in the NBA, he went and got, like, tattoo plastic surgery and had all of his tattoos upgraded to be more befitting of a man of his stature at this point in his journey.
He had a tattoo BBL.
Like, yes, yes. He was like, yo, I can't be out here living like this. I just didn't know no better back then. I was just like, okay, cool. You know what I'm saying? And props to them, by the way, for it. I still couldn't believe that he even wanted to do it. Like, that whole thing had changed. But what people didn't know is me and Shannon were talking about this on the radio, and people were getting mad at us because I don't think they were getting it. It wasn't a projection. I'm like, I'm telling you what y'all look like in these streets. Y'all got a program that appeals to parents, not a program that appeals to kids. And then they went and flipped it all up, and ain't nobody sent me a thank you card yet.
You put the pressure on and you brought it to their attention. We need to give Bo his flowers right now for helping Duke. Matter of fact, we need to make you a recruiting assistant right now for what you're able to do for that program.
I mean, and look, I rose above myself. It ain't like I was out here rooting for him. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't like, yo, this is what we need to do to come up. That wasn't my outlook at all on the situation. Like, it's very interesting being in an area where college basketball is the thing, because it's grown-ups talking about it, and grown-ups, especially with college sports, it's grown-ups, and it's grown white people, and I specify white people, because very often, like, people are like, I just don't understand why Texas A&M has never been able to get it together in football. Now, obviously, they got a little thing going right now, and the answer is, have you ever talked to a black person about College Station? Like, have you done it one time? Have you asked their opinions? Maybe that'll answer your question. Like, yo, I just don't get why Arizona State can't get it right. We black, man. Like, not that black people can't enjoy Arizona State, but we're not looking at this stuff the same way as y'all. And so with Duke, they just wasn't getting, like, you got to sell this to kids. And once they weren't doing well and they looked up and realized, like, when they had all the white dudes and they was kicking ass, it was cool. But when they looked up and they had a bunch of white dudes and they was losing, all of a sudden it was, we need to step up our recruiting. And then they hit us in 2009 with something about how people were like, yo, this recruiting class coming in is really stepped up. And that recruiting class at the time was Tyler Thornton, Josh Hairston, and who was the other one? Andre Dawkins. That was what they was all excited about. It was just three black dudes.
And they got Dawkins early, too, because I think he reclassified so he can come in earlier.
He reclassified because Memphis' old Elliot Williams bailed after 1 year. He was like, yo, I'm not doing this. It was wild because Elliot Williams bailed, and they only had three black dudes left on the team. And so they got Andre Dawkins to reclassify. And then what did that team do that was in that panic? They went and won a national championship.
Which then added to their newfound recruiting direction, shall we say.
It was the start, man, because it didn't make no sense they won no national championship that year. That was the year they played Butler in the championship game. Awful, terrible game. Not nearly as bad as the Butler-UConn game the year after.
I did want to ask you, though, we're talking about college basketball and here we're on the eve of the NCAA tournament. Why do you think the perception or the excitement or the focus of college basketball isn't what it used to be? Because I find myself, like, I'll parachute here and there and on some of the bigger games and obviously once the tournament. But as far as the games being appointment viewing for me, outside of when Zion came in a couple of years ago, I just haven't found myself as interested. Why do you think that the shift has happened?
Two things. One, college basketball used to be the best players in the world under 22. The best players in the world under 22 now play in the NBA, right? The other thing is you don't develop any familiarity with these teams. You just don't.
Right, because of so many of the one and dones?
One and done. I mean, and now the transfer game is coming in or whatever, but there was something to be said. Like, think about this. Derek Coleman, who was like freshman superstar in 1987 when Syracuse got to the championship game. Derek Coleman stayed 3 more years, right? We saw Christian Laettner play in 4 Final Fours. You got familiar with teams. Teams had personalities. You got to like people. You got to dislike people. But you knew what you were getting when you were turning on to watch a college basketball game. So I don't know who played for nobody. How could I possibly know who plays for anybody? There's nothing to get you to hold on to. Like, we talk about this with the, you know, it's the issue coming up with the NBA, where because of the way the players are handling, you know, where they play, when they play, all that kind of stuff, there are no rivalries in the NBA right now, except for like Nets Sixers, and that just started a week and a half ago. And it's because we don't have the familiarity, you don't have the back and forth, the over and over, like you just don't have those things. And so in college basketball, like Carolina Duke, man, I don't really know who plays for those teams anymore. I don't have an answer for what the personalities are, and the coaches ain't no fun no more. Like, remember when coaches used to wear funny clothes and, like, tell actual jokes and have accents and stuff like that? None of it. Like, everything that kind of made college basketball cool before, it's just not there. So I'll do the tournament, and the tournament will still be good. Like, it'll still be interesting. But the play just isn't that good. Like, what we don't have really with college basketball, too, ain't nobody to hate. We don't get to see anybody enough to, like, actively dislike people. Or just that guy that's out there that for whatever reason. Like, you remember, what was the homie's name from Arkansas? The little dude that shot from the parking lot. Alex Dillard.
Alex. Right. And I think that goes to the bigger point. Like, we don't have that appointment viewing. We don't have the team or the players that we can all focus on. And that's the hardest part, too, is trying to find these guys. Like, I know, you know, Gonzaga out there in the Pacific Northwest will have guys that'll be there, but that's not really rocking for us over here in the East Coast. So
right.
I'm lost.
Yo, with Gonzaga, I'll be seeing people like, yo, is Gonzaga the new Duke? Nah, because they white dudes just there. Like, I have never disliked one of the Gonzaga white dudes. I didn't dislike Adam Morrison. I didn't dislike the other ones. I don't dislike
Dan Dickow.
Dan Dickow. Blake Stepp, remember him? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, they just over there winning a bunch of games. Now, this one they got now is cold as he want to be. The hungry dude.
Right.
It's hard to believe he exists in real life.
Like, what is he, like a buck fit, like 7 foot tall, a buck 50, something like that?
Like, it's like, what if I was 7 feet tall but could hoop?
So he's tall man, not big man.
Oh, he's so tall, man. But tall man blocking like 3.5 shots a game. Tall man got handles. Tall man is taking people to the rack at 7'1".
Right. He's like one. That's to our point here is like we don't have those guys, you know? Like, I don't know who I'm looking forward to check going up against in the tournament, you know, player or team.
This is how you know the Duke game doesn't change. There is no way in the world that in the year 2002 that Chet Holmgren, if he was going to leave the Big Ten, he wasn't going nowhere but Duke. Krzyzewski wouldn't even have to recruit him. He just had to come to the living room and be like, you know what it is. It's time. Career achievement unlocked. I am in your living room. You know what I'm supposed to say. You know what you're supposed to say. How about you just sign your name on this paper and I get back on the next plane home?
Yeah, let's save us all some time. See you this summer. Come through.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
NFL free agency has started. I guess I should ask, and I'm asking sincerely because I've had my head up my own keister and I haven't been able to really pay attention to us so much. Are your Giants doing anything to improve themselves?
Not really. And that's fine. Like, they signed Tyrod Taylor yesterday as a backup for Daniel Jones.
As a backup for Daniel Jones.
Well, in theory, as a backup, but I wouldn't be surprised that if he'll get some starts this year. But I don't have very much expectation for the Giants. They still got to move some salary cap. So it's very much going to be the last year of Jones. And the question is, what do they do next year moving forward at the quarterback position? Because I very much see this being the last year for Daniel Jones. And they'll move on. And it's time. I don't hate Daniel Jones per se. He was just never that guy. Like, for him to be successful, you needed everything to line up for the Giants, and that was never going to happen. So Daniel Jones wasn't going to go out there and win games for you, you know? Like, he was, you know, a game manager who was quote-unquote sneaky athletic, but that's about it. Very limited. They tried to go out and give him weapons last year. That didn't work. Now it's time to let him ride off in the sunset for this one last year, you know, get a jump start on the rebuilding process and go from there. We can't keep doing what we're doing, essentially, you know?
Yeah, I tell you this, though. Shout out to Tyrod Taylor, your Hampton, Virginia homie, right? That man's reached that point of that high-paying backup life. Them's the kind of jobs brothers across industries typically don't get. You know what I'm saying? He can pay eight figures to wear that baseball cap.
Like Chase Daniel just resigned, and he's going to be a backup. I don't think he threw a pass last year, but the checks cashed.
He had a pioneer, because when they gave him that crazy number, I forget who it was. Was it the Eagles or whoever it was where he was a backup, or the Vikings, I think. Anyway, one of them gave him like $7 million a year to be the backup, and that changed the game for the Tyrod Taylors of the world. So, like, shout out to him. He's bad luck every step of the way, all that stuff. But, hey, man, that man done made $70 million, and now he ain't got to get hit no more. They ain't going to poke you in the lung with no needle again because you ain't even got to go out there to earn that money. You know what I'm saying?
Look, you $70 million, you got a ring as backup in Baltimore. Like, you coasting now at this point. Like, I don't need to play. I don't need to get hurt anymore. Just cash these checks.
Big win. Were you surprised Tom Brady unhung it up?
After 40 days, huh? He was like, that's it, huh? After 40 days, right? Like, there's only so much trash you can take out. There's only so much, you know, Netflix and HBO Max you can get caught up on. he just sat around. I was like, what the hell am I doing? You know, but I'm not surprised. And this is more recent. Tom Brady Sr. yesterday came out and essentially was blaming the media for Tom retiring, saying guys like Adam Schefter and Jeff Darlington, you know, came out with the reports of him retirement and that which led to the announcement. What the hell is that garbage? Come on. Like Tom Brady is a grown bleeping man. He's in his 40s. Dude got 7 Super Bowl titles. Like, no one was forcing him to retire. Like, if you didn't feel that way or if you weren't certain, just say that when his reports came out. There was no reason for you to then put out a statement and then go on the whole retirement tour. Nah, that's on you. That's on your son. And I get it. You're a father. You're supposed to protect your kid. I get all of that stuff. But Tom didn't have to come out and say his retirement. So yeah, that's – I don't know where Senior was going with that stuff.
Yeah, I get protecting your kid, but like you said, as we all talked about, that man 47, however damn old he is, you know what I'm saying? Like, it is the other part, too. Shannon got this ultra-talented daughter who one day could be famous. Like, I say that sincerely, right? The public cape from your parents doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Like, I think about when I was in college, my homeboy had this roommate that at the time, I don't think we liked that much, but not because anything was wrong with him. We just college freshmen, you know what I'm saying? And so somebody got the bright idea to pull the prank while he was out in class stealing his mattress. So he took his mattress out the room and he took it somewhere else. And he was kind of freaking out about it. But like, he ain't the one to be like, yo, somebody about to get f***ed up if I don't get my mattress back. Right. Like, he just wasn't that guy. And toward the end of the night, his mom called the room because, you know, it was back in the day of the landline. And so my homeboy who had orchestrated the whole thing answered the phone and she asked if her son was there. And of course, we said no, because why would he be there? He didn't have a mattress. And his mom said on the phone to my boy, don't you think it's time for the game to be over? Now, she was absolutely right. Right. She was absolutely right. But that did that boy no favors with us. And that's what I think of every time I see one of these parents put on their cape in public. Don't you think it's time for the game to be over? Ain't nobody ask you.
Right.
That's how I feel about Tom Brady. The media made Tom Brady retire. How?
If he was uncertain about his future, just come out and say that. Like, no one would blame you. Like, we totally get it. Like, you've been in the NFL for more years than, you know, playing in the NFL than you did in your life not playing in the NFL. So, like, we get it if you want to take some time to make this decision. Like, that's totally understandable. It wasn't like you were waffling whether that you were trying to get more money from your organization like Aaron Rodgers doing in Green Bay. Like, we knew what this was, Tom. Like, take your time. Nobody rushed you in it. And that's the thing I don't get. Like, no one's going to force Tom Brady to do anything. You know, and right. So for his father to come out and cape for him in the way that he did and try to blame somebody else for his son's indecision, it was unnecessary.
Yeah. I can only see one person who could even potentially have the power to make him do something. And I am rather curious what she thinks. Yo, I can't blame her, man. I've been married to this dude for how long? And this like incredibly greedy mistress of football that he has that, by the way, physically abuses him. Right? Like all that stuff that goes on there. I'd be so tired of him playing football.
Right. Not to mention, too, like it's not just like him, you know, playing and being a professional athlete. Like he's the type to go above and beyond with his level of dedication and the amount of time that it takes for him to get at that level. So I totally get why, you know, Giselle would feel as though it's time so that we can, you know, she can get her husband. Like I get all of that. But at the same time, I guess it was hard for him, though, still knowing that he can play at a high level. Because I think this would be totally different if he was at the Peyton Manning point where, you know, injuries and he couldn't throw the ball anymore, like things like that. No, Tom Brady was second in the MVP and was almost in another Super Bowl. Like, he's like, yo, I'm still at the top of my game. Like, I can't walk away right now knowing that I'm still playing at this level.
He's too old to be at that point where if he has a bad season that he thinks, oh, okay, I can turn this around. Like, he is beyond that age. And that, to me, is what is crucial, is that he is not at that point where he could just say to himself, if you're like 37, 38, like somewhere in that range, that's where you have a bad year and you're like, nah, I just wasn't healthy. Mm-hmm. But I can turn this thing around. You have a bad year at 45. No, this is just what it is.
And too, like, with all of this, is we're not really getting the, this is the best I've ever felt in my career. Like, we're not getting that. You know? Because that once somebody says it's the best that they felt in their career, oh, they're donezo.
It's over.
Like, that is it. It's over. A rat it's city over. In the it's over.
I mean, the
ticket.
Best. I feel like I'm 30 again. But the thing is, with Tom Brady's like, I always feel like I'm 25. I have the TB12 method.
Exactly. But he's been on this for so long, though. Like, there's no difference in, I think, too, like, because we haven't had that drop in production, like you said, it doesn't elicit the same questions that it would about him being forced out or any of these things, you know? And so, like, for a team like Tampa, of course you're going to want him back. And of course you're not going to put any pressure to get an announcement or decision from him, because it's like, hey, we get Tom back, like, we're cool, you know?
That's all they need. And that's real talk. All we need to do is get Tom Brady. Except, like, I thought his numbers were better last year than he was. I thought that was the case the year before, too. The Super Bowl season wasn't all good. In that playoff run, he wasn't all good. And then the defense really brought it in the Super Bowl where the Chiefs couldn't block and all of that stuff. You know what I'm saying? I'll be curious to see. I don't think this Tampa team is probably going to be as good because some bills came due. What's this going to look like?
As they should. Yeah, they've already lost a couple guys on the defensive side. They got a lot of free agents that they got to work through. I think Godwin's on franchise tag, so at least they bring him back on the offensive side. But yeah, they got questions that they need to answer and reshuffling up some finances. But I would still say with Brady back that they would still be one of the top, would you say, three, maybe four at worst teams in the NFC. It's a weaker division as compared to the AFC.
Well, it's a weaker conference, but then that specific division is looking like boo-boo. We got the Saints in transition. We got the Falcons, you know. We got the Panthers, you know. And then you got the Bucks.
It's a weak division, and then looking at conference-wide, what is it? Green Bay, the Rams, and whatever the Cowboys are? Like, that's, for the most part, that's your only competition to get back to a Super Bowl. So it's very much in reach. And to your point, the Bucks probably aren't going to be as good as they were the last couple of years, but there's no reason why they shouldn't be one of the top three teams in the NFC this coming season.
Well, except if maybe your old quarterback gets old. There's going to be a year. I don't necessarily know what the year is going to be. It's going to be a year when it happens. And we're going to see it, because until it becomes, like, visible to people, nobody's going to stop betting on Tom Brady.
And nor should they. And nor should they as well. You know, like, we thought that towards the end of his time in New England that, you know, he was, you know, the skill level and this, that, and the third or whatever. But then he still was able to parlay that to a championship in Tampa. So I'm not betting against the dude. I'm sorry. I'm not betting against
him. I will tell you this, though. If he had been back up there in New England throwing to them dudes, we'd have been like, yo, man, I think it might be time to hang it up, dog. I give this to Tom Brady, and it's no shade. We not Kevin Durant for going to a ready-made champion. Tom Brady was like, no, that's exactly what I'm looking for. I'm like, yeah, we get it. We get it. Now, granted, Kevin Durant, obviously younger. You know, it's a bunch of stuff to it. But anytime somebody gets on somebody like, yo, why'd you go to a team that was that good? Because I'm not stupid.
Right. I like winning. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Right? Like, why am I not going to take this house with the granite countertops and the Subway backsplash in the kitchen? Nah, the Subway tiles. Like, that's what I want. Nah, give me that. I'll take that every day.
Well, I guess see what this NFL season's going to be. Somebody going to have to get some Jimmy G. Somebody going to even roll the dice on one-legged Jameis. It's just going to be a lot going on.
And that's the weird thing, too, like, throughout this offseason, talking about the quarterback position, because we talked, there was actually a debate yesterday about whether or not, you know, Deshaun Watson is a top five quarterback, and people were saying how tough of an argument that is, looking at how the top quarterbacks in the league. But then once you get past that top seven-ish quarterbacks, is a steep drop. And the quarterback play, as we're seeing, like, with some of these names thrown out, with the Mitchell Trubisky's of the world and the Jameis Winston, like, it's the quarterback play is not as great as you would think. Like, yeah, they're the elite guys, but after that, it's a lot of meh.
Well, like, let's just look at elite talents, right? Like, not necessarily guys that have become or are elite quarterbacks, but we'll just call it, for purposes of this discussion, elite talents. I'm counting these guys as an elite talent. I think Russell Wilson has fallen off, but Russell Wilson, elite talent. Justin Herbert, elite talent. Matthew Stafford, I would say Dak Prescott. Patrick Mahomes. Josh Allen, my God. Aaron Rodgers. Burrow, in this category. Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson. That's 10. I could be missing somebody in this run that was off the top of my head. Trevor Lawrence, I guess. But I don't know what 11 talking about. once you get past that, it is kind of like, ooh, these guys aren't nearly as good.
Right, and there's still a lot of question marks. Like a Kyler Murray, who wouldn't be in that top 10.
But he's an elite talent, I'd say.
Elite talent, absolutely. You got to see a little more consistency from him. But he's at least there. But like the drop-off after that, like it is a steep drop. And that's why you got some of these guys who are going to be propped up. Like Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, game manager at best, probably backup. But he's going to be somebody starting quarterback next year because the landscape is just not that great.
Yep.
And that's coming from somebody who's seeing it day in and day out with his starting quarterback of his football team in the New York Giants.
It's so different than when you were a kid.
Oh gosh. We had with Phil Simms and you know, even later on with Eli once he, you know, figured it out during the playoff runs. But yeah, this product right now,
Hey, man, let me ask you right quick as we're wrapping up. Did you get a chance to check out the homies' show on HBO?
Yes, and I want to say, too, like this was so awesome. Like, I know you were texting me about it, but I wanted to experience it, like, as a fan, as a viewer watching it, and it was awesome. Like, it was so dope to see, like, just the maturation in you and the growth that you've, like, I got a front row seat to all of it. So, like, this is dope. From my perspective, to see all of it and watching you in that realm and that spectrum was just awesome. Like I couldn't stop smiling. So I'm extremely proud of you and the things that you do and your contributions, not only to this medium, but you know, my life as well. I can't, you know, thank you enough with that. And I know it sounds cheesy and all that stuff, but dog, I'm so proud of you, my man.
Dude, I appreciate it. I didn't ask you that. Obviously, you were like, yo, fishing for a compliment.
Of course.
But
right.
A big part of why I want to bring it up, though, is for me and you, man, we had ideas of what would work on content way back. Like, people don't get it. When we were doing this Saturday show, and I was getting something like $100 to do these three-hour shows, and Shannon had a day job and was working this on the weekend, we were still on the phone during the week, like, cooking up ideas for what we were going to come up with. We had the big dummy of the week. It sucks to be you, like all of this stuff. And even when I got the job with the satellite people, and I would be at home getting sound for fake documentaries and sending the sound to Shannon and sending him a check so he could come together and cut it up and put it all together. It's like, that's the work that we were doing back in the day before a lot of people even knew who we were. Honestly, we're even thinking in these terms. Like, remember, we were thinking about to get podcasts out off the radio station before that station even realized that there was a value in doing these things and all of that. And when I looked up at that show, we really started cooking this up on Saturday morning, where we treated that Saturday morning show like it was an afternoon drive show. And that was like the best lesson for me on any of this, was that like, if you love it, you just do it like you love it. And that's what we did. Man, thank you. We ain't doing this otherwise.
Right, and it's dope to see, because I know the grind and I know the work that you put in that a lot of people don't see, how like you're on this and to see, you know, Game Theory and see, you know, Rod being part of this, like an extension of the Morning Jones, like all of this stuff, man, like it is just so like awesome to see. And then I'm so excited about what the future holds with all of this stuff, man.
Dude, I appreciate you, man. I thank you so much. And that is Shannon Penn. Check him out, ESPN Radio in the afternoons. Technical description. Also, I believe the title. My man, thank you so much. And ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for watching on YouTube. And thanks so much for listening to The Right Time. We do this three times a week. Gabe Bassain and Adi Khan handling things behind the scenes. Thank you, gentlemen. Remember, follow The Right Time. Rate us. Review us. Give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are. Hey, we'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. Take it easy.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or follow on the ESPN app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.